Let us pray together. We thank you for this worship service. May what is shared this morning bring you glory, Lord Jesus, and may we continue to bless your holy name. Amen. I sent this card to our friend Susan, and there's a poem called He Knows. I'd like to share that with you. He knows. Sometimes in life it is hard to understand. We face challenges and obstacles that were never put in our plans. And yet we can trust nothing is a surprise to God. He is there to walk with each of our steps and hold our hands and guide us to do all the good he has for our lives. Will always be with us wherever we go. We can be thankful that Marian is now holding the hand of Jesus. God has created us for relationships with him and with others. Friends are those whom you enjoy spending time with. Marian truly loves spending time with us, with her Wellspring family. And I thank each of you for your kindnesses shown to Marian. She had a true sense of belonging that helped her to get through her days. She belonged to Jesus. She belongs with Jesus. She felt accepted and she felt loved. And know that she feels even more love now that she has entered into heaven. I'm going to share some stories, but I want you to also think about some stories or an instance a moment that you shared with Marian that shows her true colors. I had the honor of driving her home on Sunday mornings. I was her Sunday morning driver. The last time she was here at church, you'll remember, Brian, it was cold. It was a colder Sunday, and she had her puffy coat on, and she had a hard time getting her seatbelt over her chest. I said, Marian, let me help you. So I swung the seatbelt out, and I'm looking down to hook it in, and she's going, you're choking me. I had mistakenly taken the seatbelt and crossed over her neck and her chin and her shoulder. And I said, oh, great, I can read the headlines now. What's she going to say about the pastor and how she treats her automobile riders? But she and I and Brian laughed at that, and she was safe and fine, and I got her home safely. We often teased about her living at the Rich House. We would pull into where they live and say, here it is, we're at the Rich House. And that had occurred after a conversation here about the various homes in our community and how eloquent and beautiful they all are. And Brian and Marian were like, well, this is where we live. And so we decided it is the Rich House, filled with love and filled with friends. Somebody at her home told her she needs to smile more, and she asked me, do you think I need to smile more? And so we thought that it would be an experiment for her to see how people approach her. If she smiled more, what would happen? Would she notice there'd be a difference? And she did. I don't think the person told her to smile more to be mean to her, but to encourage her. And truly, if we have Jesus' love in our heart, what's on our face should resemble that with a smile. Somebody here was having a difficult time with their emotions, and on the way home we were talking about when people have a hard time with life. And she came up with, I don't know why they just don't say, Satan, get behind me. They should go for a walk. They should go do puzzles. She's listing all of these things that help people to feel better. And I was just like thinking, Marian, you are precious. She knew how to care for herself. She knew when she was down how to go and reach out to a friend. When she was in the hospital, I was trying to share with her that no matter who came in the room, no matter what they offered to do, she should say thank you. And so if someone would bring water, I would say, Marian, what do you need to do? And she would say, thank you. And Brian came in, and I remember I said to her, say thank you to Brian. And she said, she didn't, she just looked at me, and I whispered in her ear, thank you. So she whispered to Brian, thank you. And I said, no, use your voice. And then she said, thank you. And I noticed when people came in to deliver her lunches, she would say, thank you. When I was praying over her, it was when I was with Brian, the time before the last time that I had met with her. I prayed over her, and I kissed her hand, and she pulled me forward. And she said, this is her last full sentence to me. I just want to say thank you. That's what she said. I bet you she's in heaven saying thank you to Jesus for her life, for her friends, for her opportunity to share about God. Would any of you like to share a little story or memory about Marion at this time?
Yeah, I'll tell you one little story. I was always over here with Marion. She worked in a little pool and above. She passed the American school at the time. We all know that, obviously. But she was his secretary. I don't know, maybe she don't want to be there. But I remember her telling me one time she used to write about it. But she loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And this was probably near the end when Mike, before he even knew he was sick,
mm-hmm.
he had been giving her, I guess, a little bit of a hard time with the Lord and whatever. Well, Mary can end your business. And as he's walking out, he turns around and he comes back and he goes, I love you, Mary. And she never forgot that mm-hmm. he came and gave her a hug and then left. Because they used to go at it.
No.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But she just, that made her day.
Mm-hmm.
That made her relationship.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
She often
told
me.
Like I said, I've seen such a loving change
mm-hmm.
in the last 4 years or 5 years. She changed her thinking.
Yes. She truly felt love.
Yeah.
She truly felt love.
And she got more loving and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was awesome. See what Jesus can do.
Jesus. He's amazing. The first time that I was here and I was trying to help Marion with decorations, and there was a table here. And so we had put the table here, and I asked her where she wanted it. We're lining it up to the cross, but it came off to a little bit to the side, and I tried to move it back center, and she said, no, this is where it's been. It's been here for 20 years. This is where it's been, so we left it off to the side. And then the table covering was tilted to the side, and I said, well, let me just shimmy this up. No, there's too many hands on the pot. This is the way we've done it. There's too many hands on the pot, so I thought, okay, I'll let that go. And not one of anyone who came to the Christmas program bothered to say, you know, that's crooked, or you know, that's not right. But we left it Marion's way, and she was very happy with that. This is precious. Yeah. I think being a single person in her era, you know, a single woman, you really learn to fight and stand up for yourself and push for what you need. And living alone is not easy to do. So it was a gift that she was in a home with people from the home sent her cards and wished her well, and she met Brian, right? Brian is a gift.
I would not trade anything.
Yeah.
All the joy of being with her was well worth
it. I think you taught her how to laugh at herself.
I agree.
Uh-huh. Lighten up.
Tell Brian on the way over here.
Yeah.
Marion changed even more in this last
mm-hmm.
year. Brian opened her up.
Absolutely.
Happiness.
Yeah. Being able to laugh at yourself.
And our lunches, I think.
Yes.
She enjoyed them.
Yeah. She's a piece of work. And I loved her dearly. And I will miss her. Truly miss her. Would anyone else like to share? John 11, 25 and 26. Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die." As believers, we have been adopted by the Lord and saved by the work of the Spirit. Think of that feeling that you get. The Myers family knows this, truly knows this, that feeling that you get when you hold that newborn baby. The joy, the love, the thrill, the amazement. Well, that is exactly how Jesus felt when you opened your heart to him. When we read through our verses this morning, you will hear the word adoption. It's going to be found in verse 15. And it means that we have become placed into God's family. We have become children of God. We are his sons and daughters. As we become born again, we receive God's guidance. And I'm so thankful that our spiritual growth is never ending. Let us look at Romans 8, starting at verse 12. Romans 8, starting at verse 12. "Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of your body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, 'Abba, Father.' The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs of Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory." We have been chosen by God even before we were born. Matthew 18:5. "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." We are welcomed with open arms and encouraged to live with childlike faith and humility. The term adoption in this passage is the reception of a believer into the family of God. Jody Cottrell Dreyer writes, "Adoption is the most intentional process on earth." John Piper shares, "Adoption is the visible gospel." Wow. As born-again believers, we have been adopted, and we therefore are the gospel. We are to guide and support our other spiritual adoptees to serve our Father. There were times when I became frustrated with Marion because I would go over the bulletin and look through the bulletin. Janine would go over the bulletin and look through the bulletin, and ding dang it, on Sunday morning, Miss Marion didn't find that mistake. And she'd need to bring it to me. "This isn't right. You need to fix this." But you know what? It was what she was used to doing. I accepted her for being her. She knew that. She knew I loved her no matter how many errors she found in that ding-dang bulletin. It's our job to support others, other spiritual adoptees, to serve the Father. And when we are led by the Spirit, Jesus leads us to repentance, the act of remorse or sorrow or regret, the ability to say, "I'm sorry." The example sentence for repentance in the Oxford Language Dictionary for the definition of repentance says, "Each person who turns to God in genuine repentance and faith will be saved." With humility, Jesus leads us to think little of self and much of him. He leads us into truth and love. He leads us into holiness and usefulness. I'm so thankful that he gave me the opportunity to drive Marion home. We truly tried to solve all of the world's problems. I usually kissed her on her forehead when she got out of the car and I bid her goodbye. The last time I dropped her off in her heavy coat after I almost strangled her, but I didn't, she stopped me and she gave me a huge hug. How precious. As Jesus leads us, as children of God, we enter into such a close relationship with him that we may cry out with joy, Abba, Father. We can call him our daddy. We are in Christ, and we have a special privilege of relating to God just as Jesus had. That's miraculous. Jesus was so close to him, and we have the opportunity to be close to him as well. Anyone who leads believers astray should expect a harsh punishment. I'm not sure why people do that. I think it's a selfish thing, but it happens and we need to be aware of it. Looking back at verse 16, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Another version reads that God's Spirit touches our spirit and confirms who we really are. Marion learned who she really was these last few years of living her life with a group of church family members who loved her unconditionally, with people in her home who showed her friendship and kindness, with a buddy named Brian. They had a ball making fruit salad together. They called me while they were making fruit salad, and I couldn't really understand what they were saying because they were giggling so much and having fun with the fruit salad, and it was really good when they brought it to church. What a precious memory. I think Marion truly wanted a buddy to make fruit salad with her whole life, someone to accept her for who she is and someone to love her unconditionally. What a gift. God's Spirit does not communicate with us because of our goodness or our efforts to do good, but because of his love for us. We are his children. His true deep love is what gives us confidence to live our daily lives. I don't know how people do it without Jesus. He gives us confidence to carry on each day. We have the ability to possess a gracious, peaceable, and powerful spirit within us. That's a gift to each of you. A spirit that is powerful, a spirit that is peaceful, a spirit that is filled with grace. It's yours. Use it wisely. This is just a bit of somebody named Anna, who wrote an article called Real Hope, Real Life. Anna knew of God's sovereignty. She knew him, God, as her source of comfort. But now she was questioning, why had God failed to heal her father? She wrestled with questions about her father's death. But something that had helped her was remembering God's unchanging nature. In Isaiah 40, verse 8, it reads, "The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God will stand forever." God's character never changes. Anna needed to recognize that God was walking with her as she grieved in the loss. This is what she wrote. "Even though my initial response to tragedy was to feel betrayed, God never broke any promises. He did not promise that I wouldn't face hardship and sorrow in life. nor did he promise that I would know the answers to why things happen in a certain way. And sometimes things happen, and we just don't know, what's that word? Why? But he did promise to be near me when I was brokenhearted, and to strengthen and uphold me in times of trouble. He is the sovereign Lord and a good and loving Father, even when my perspective is clouded by different emotions. Anne still felt angry and hurt, and she had found it difficult to listen to certain hymns. And then she was crushed and confused, because those hymns should be helping her to move on, but she didn't want to listen to them. It became this circle of feelings. She went on to write, "But I know the heart is deceitful and wicked, and when I stray from God, it is my own sinful desires that draws me away. My longing to be comforted was not a bad desire, but the temptation to seek comfort in bitterness was threatening to pull me away from the only one who ever could truly comfort me." We can give all praise to God. We can. He is the one who remains faithful to us, even when we are unfaithful. Psalm 121, verse 3. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. God is always in control. He waits for us to come to him at any time, for anything. He will not let go of us. And we will be forgiven when we stray. Nothing can separate us from him. He has adopted each of us. We are his children. Romans 8:17, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." Jesus experienced pain and suffering. We're not going to be different from him. There's a purpose to our suffering. Suffering in this world with Christ is a lot different than suffering in this world by ourselves. The glory that you experience in the world to come, will be wonderful. It may not happen today. It may not happen tomorrow. But you will experience his love again. Each of us has the privilege of relating to our Father God just as Jesus did. We are not immune to difficult times, but we do know that when we suffer, we are being glorified together. He has adopted us. Christ's strength will carry us through each and every trial. He holds on to us. When exhaustion and pain set in, just be honest about it. Confess your feelings to Jesus. He will forgive you. He will hold your hand a little bit tighter. He will walk with you. 1 John 1:9. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." Trust in his love, your Father's love. He will give you strength to carry on. As we close our sermon together, I would like us to open up our Bibles to Psalm verse 23, and we will read Psalm 23 together. In honor of our sweet friend Marion, who is now resting in the arms of Jesus. Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.